All right. See, Ed Lover Morning Show with Jen BT. We have a special guest in the house. Actor, comedian, and producer, Mr. Jamie Kennedy is here. Good morning, sir.
Yeah. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, you guys, for having me, man.
You got a couple of shows coming up in Chicago, right? Starting tonight?
Yeah, I'm over in Dumall, Schaumburg out there. We got six shows this weekend.
That's a lot of shows, right?
I know. Yeah, but it's one of my favorite places to perform.
As a fellow stand-up comedian, what are you doing, an hour, hour and a half?
About an hour.
That's a lot of work, bro.
It's only 6 hours for the weekend.
That's a lot of work. Let's rewind for a minute and take it back to the beginning of Jamie Kennedy's career. Did you do stand-up before acting or acting before stand-up?
I was just telling people that. I kind of started as an extra. My first thing I ever got was I was an extra in the movie Dead Poets Society.
Oh, wow.
No kidding. Yeah. That's such a great movie.
I know. I was very fortunate. And that was the first thing I ever did. And then I moved out to L.A. to be an extra. I didn't know anything. Right?
Just an extra.
Yeah.
And look at you.
And then I started doing extra work. And then I met somebody saying, you don't want to be an extra. You want to be an actress. I mean, an actor.
Right.
And then as I was starting to take acting classes, I started to do stand-up. Somebody said, you should do open mics, and that's how I started. But I would start as a comedian and got success first as an actor, though.
Okay, so you really started first doing the open mics, became a comedian, and then from comedy, you started acting. What do you like better, the stand-up or the acting part?
It's hard. I mean, to me, is working in the crowd and he's really connecting. It's one of the greatest feelings in the world. I mean, you feel like, oh, I'm really, my purpose is being fulfilled. But, you know, doing a movie in another country and, you know, in an amazing location and acting, and that's great too. So, I mean, it's hard to pick, you know what I mean? It's like kids, but I like them both. It's hard.
And then getting the big bucks as an actor.
Well, you know what? It's funny you say that because it is true. Like, a movie will pay you and you can just get paid when it works, right?
Mm-hmm.
But comedy has changed now. So you can grow your audience and people will. The comedians are killing it right now.
Yeah, you're right. So, they're selling out arenas and theaters. And
the new rock star. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Yeah.
Do you like creating more or for yourself, or do you prefer to go out and say, okay, I'm going to audition for this, I'm going to audition for that?
In a perfect world, I would just love to do my own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, get to be in good projects as I work, too. But it's, you know, it's hard. I mean, there's parts of my career where I've been in great things and parts of my career where I was creating a lot of stuff that was working. And there's parts of my career where stuff I did didn't work. And then I was just like an actor for hire. But in a perfect world, you have ideas and you do them. But sometimes it's really hard. You get beaten down by the system, a lot of no's, and you're just like, all right, I'll just pimp myself out.
Now, you're a jack of all trades. You had so many successful movies. You've had a lot of great shows that you've produced and been a part of. What do you find the most challenging? Because I feel like all of this is kind of easy to you, or it looks easy. What do you find the most challenging? Serious roles, comedy, producing?
The most challenging is getting something sold. I mean, I was talking about this the other day. The problem with our business is that we have risk takers pitching to the risk averse, right? So I got nothing to lose. I'm trying to be an extra. I didn't go to college. It was like, oh, I had these ideas. Let me try to be an actor or comedian. And then you have people that have gone to college and make X amount of years as an executive. They don't want to lose their position. So then you pitch something, they're like, well, we can't try that. We don't know if it works. And so it's a really twisted system because you've got two ends of the spectrum. I mean, and that's the hardest thing. There's more places to ever to watch stuff, and more people are more conservative with their choices.
Well,
you
love that all of your choices have seemed risky, and I feel like that's a part of your success because I don't know what you're going to do, and I love seeing you because I don't know what to expect, and I find it hilarious and different and unique. So I hope they know that the risk is worth it.
I appreciate it. I mean, when I was thinking about this, when I succeed, I succeed wildly, and when I fail, I fail miserably. I mean, I do take some swings, and some things have really bombed. Some things have been really great. So,
what do you think is the worst bomb you've ever had so far?
Worst bomb is probably Son of the Mask. It was the sequel to The Mask.
Oh, okay. Sound like a good idea when they presented it, right?
I know, right? The problem is you're in the footsteps of, you know, one of the top iconic, you know, comedians of all time.
Right.
And it wasn't really supposed to be like that. It was supposed to be like a universe, which movies are doing now. And, you know, another person found the mask. And then the movie kind of didn't know what it wanted to be. It wanted to be a couple that has a baby, and then they slowly discover all this stuff. And it was a lot. It was more PG when we started the movie,
mm-hmm.
PG-13, and then it got more G. So, I mean, you know, that's tough because you work on something for 8-9 months, and you really are trying to believe in it. You're really doing it. And then it comes out, you know, at 4 o'clock on a Friday, and by 4:15, everyone's like,
over.
Yeah, man, it's harsh.
When Jamie Kennedy walks down the street, what do most people know you for?
They say, what's up, B-Rat? What's up, B-Rat? They say it a lot. People always shout that out to me, and I say, I remember that job.
Always, is that what you say?
Yeah, I say, imagine if I shout out your old job. Like, what's up, Bed Bath & Beyond? What's up, Smoothie King? Chick-fil-A.
He's talking about Malibu's Most Wanted.
Yes.
Now, when Malibu's Most Wanted first came out, the hip-hop community, which I am a big part of, didn't know how to take it. We didn't know if you were...
Really?
If you were poking fun of at us, stereotypical, or were you a real, true hip hop fan?
Now, how has it progressed?
I think we took it for what it was—a comedy.
Yeah, no, it. Wow, that's interesting because you are one of the OGs of this community. So it was basically an homage to hip hop,
right?
And basically, black people got the joke. Still more than white people. And basically what the movie is a comment kind of on white society where B-Rad enjoyed all of the great things of the hip-hop community without all the struggles. And what his struggles were a joke.
Right.
But, it's an homage. But, I mean, it is a comedy. But.
Yeah, and very funny.
Thank
Who are
you.
Your favorite hip-hop artists? Who do you like?
Dude, I go back that you and I will probably have the similar taste.
Okay.
I mean, first of all, do people even know it started with Kool Herc?
Okay.
Right?
They should.
And I used to go in 69th Street in Philly by a place called the Tower Theater. I watched 3 movies for like $1. This was back in the early 80s. I remember watching Beach Street. And I remember watching that. I think they had the Treacherous Three, which was before. Were they the Fat Boys, pre-Fat Boys?
They were one of the best trios ever, definitely.
I'll just throw them in no particular order. For me, I was raised on Run DMC, Curtis Blow, Kool Moe Dee. Kool Moe Dee was really in my world. Curtis Blow... you and your partner.
Me and Dr. Dre.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
The Fat Boys.
Absolutely.
I mean, that was more fun. Will Smith, too, because he was from Philly, and I remember hearing him locally on the radio in the mid-80s before he broke nationally. Mm. There's so many more. I mean, if you just brought that era for me from, like, 84 to 91. Obviously, Biggie. You know, Biggie... Craig Mack.
Rest in peace, Craig Mack.
Yeah.
So, yes, I mean, sir.
But there's a lot of people that only had one or two that were amazing.
Right.
You know what I mean? But then you got people like Buster. I mean, there's a lot.
You know, Buster's in the studio with Dr. Dre right now.
Oh, is he?
Yes.
Doing new?
Yeah.
Wow.
Brand new. And speaking of that, you did Surviving Compton.
Yes.
Dre, Suge, and Michelle A, and you played Jerry Heller. How challenging was that?
Dude, it was... he passed as we were shooting.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it was right before we started. It was challenging because it was already done.
Right.
And I thought, you know, Paul Giamatti did a great job. Now I don't know Jerry Heller at all.
Right.
But I got to watch some footage of him, and the producer of the movie was really kind of friendly with him. So he said, "This is how he sounded." So he said he sounded a little different. He was an Ohio guy. But I learned a lot, and basically he was a guy that was one of the forefathers of kind of pushing hip-hop.
Yeah, absolutely. He's one of the guys that really took Eazy-E and propelled them in N.W.A. to the next level.
Yeah.
He absolutely did. He had some faults, but he definitely propelled them guys.
He definitely liked his money, But he also definitely started a label with those guys. And, and Easy and him were kind of partners. It was
Absolutely. It was one hand washing the other.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Jerry Heller is so important to hip hop. Overall, what haven't you done that you want to do?
As you know, I would like to do something a little dramatic. I'd like to get some, try to get some kind of, you know, more. I'd like to stretch and get a little drama game and try to get a little respect that way.
Do you feel like they box you in because of your comedic background?
Big time. Big time. And it's funny, when a comedian does a role, no one expects them, oh my God, you know, like, how did you do that? But as, you know, you're a funny person, you know it's easier to be not funny.
I mean,
you can just be dramatic. People don't expect it from us. But we're funny because we don't, that's the way we deal with the world.
Right.
Yeah. But I kind of feel like the best comedians make the best, or comedians make the best dramatic actors.
I think so, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But my big thing is just trying to get something where people don't look at me as one thing and they kind of say, oh, Jamie Kennedy can do multiple things. Because I did my show, The Experiment. And
right.
People thought it was really funny, but they look at the characters as like goofy, but they're real. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're just funny.
And then when you go in and you're being cast on something, automatically when they see your name coming up next, they be like, oh, Jamie Kennedy. Like,
too funny.
Yeah, too funny for that.
Yeah.
And they don't understand that you're trying to branch out and do something, that you're actually an actor.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but at the bottom line of it, you're an actor.
I'm trying.
Yeah. Well, in the meantime, still doing that stand-up and getting that check, all right? Y'all can see him for real.
I love
7:30 tonight. And, of course, you can see him Friday, 7:30 and 9:45. Saturday, 7 and 9:15. Y'all can call 847-240-2001 to see Mr. Jamie Kennedy at the Chicago Improv in Schaumburg. Thanks for taking some time out of your day and spending with us.
Bro, thank you for having me.
We appreciate it. Jamie Kennedy on the Ed Lover Morning Show.
Such a pleasure.